Today we have the pleasure of Michael Colwitz joining us. Good morning, Michael, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you happen to be.
I know we're a day ahead and you're a day behind, but we get used to doing that sometimes. Michael, you're a great exponent of the Chapman stick. And matter of fact, I think you're one of the pioneers on this particular instrument. Could you tell us a little bit about how you came across this instrument?
I'd be happy to. Yes to both. I had the rare good fortune to see Emmett Chapman, the inventor, mm-hmm. play at a little college coffee house in Southern California when I was 19 years old. I was a year out of high school, and I had played the trumpet for 10 years in school band. So I'd always been interested in music. I didn't play the piano. I knew maybe all of 6 chords on a guitar. But when I saw Emmett play his freaky, cool new musical instrument, I was just flabbergasted. The whole night, I just sat there with my mouth hanging open. I couldn't believe all the music he was able to produce. And so I was hooked from day one, and that was in 1976. I bought one of Emmett's first instruments, and he took me under his wing, and he gave me lessons for just a little over 10 years.
Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? It's quite an amazing instrument, because I think he invented that back in around about the late 60s.
You would be right. Emmett was a jazz guitarist on the L.A. circuit in the late 60s. What we wanted to do is he wanted to play complicated jazz piano arrangements and be Jimi Hendrix all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the early 70s. So he started experimenting with his guitar. He kept adding strings. He got all the way up to about 9 strings, and it was just kind of awkward. So in 1974, he'd already been doing the two-hand tapping technique for about 5 years,
mm-hmm.
from August of 69, and in 74 he decided to just simply build an instrument designed specifically for a two-hand tapping technique, and it had 10 strings on it, 5 strings in the bass register and 5 in the melody, and it was perfect. It gave him exactly what he wanted. He could play with both hands like a pianist, yet at the same time have all of the expressive qualities of a stringed instrument like Jimi Hendrix. You can slide the strings, bend them, you can put vibrato on whole chords in both hands, and so he was pretty jazzed about it, and he took it around Southern California, and I was just one of those people that just happened to be in one of those early audiences.
Right, and I think it's an amazing instrument because you can get guitar, bass, keyboard, and percussion sounds out of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It has elements of all of those. It's played with just a very light percussive tap. Guitarists call them hammer-ons or pull-offs, but it's not really that at all. It's just lightly tapping your finger to the string. When you hit the steel string to the steel fret, it creates just enough sound energy or vibration to be heard by a very sensitive magnetic pickup. So usually on a guitar, one hand finds the note or vibrating length, and the other hand has to create the sound energy by picking, plucking, strumming. On the Chapman stick, one tap of a finger does both jobs. So all 10 of your fingers are available to tap notes, and you can tap them in whole bunches and make huge polychords in both hands, more like keyboardists than guitarists, really.
Mm-hmm. And one of the wonderful things I like about the Chapman stick is the beautiful, soft, mellow tones that can come out of it.
Well, that's the beauty of the stick. It's like a blank canvas. Depending what tastes the player has, you can do pretty much anything on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've over the 43 years that I've been playing, you know, I've tried just about every single style there is: classic rock, jazz, flamenco, Latin, New Age, Hawaiian. But you know, as you get older, you know, your Alice Cooper records just don't sound as good anymore. And you just start getting a little mellower. And I live in a beautiful remote area in northern Arizona where the pace is really slow. And so rather than try to play, 100 notes per minute, I just started slowing everything down and focusing more on just the tone and the feeling.
I did take the opportunity of looking up some of your stuff on YouTube over here, and it would have been a very, very early stage of your career where you were really rocking it with the Chapman stick.
Well, that's the beauty of the stick. It's number one, it's electric. There is no truly acoustic version of it because the tapping action is so light, it just doesn't yield enough volume. So it's electric, and it's wired in stereo. So you get two outputs, mm-hmm. one for the melody or guitar register, or a pianist would call it treble, and then the other hand plays primarily in the bass register. And you could send that output to, you know, two gigantic stacks of amplifiers. You could play it through, you know, every effects pedal known to man, and you'd be able to achieve just about any kind of tone that you want. But over the years, I've found that all those my pedals have ended up in a big box in the garage, and I'd like to focus on just the pure tone of the instrument because it's so intimate, and it really has a beautiful tone. But you know, you can be your own rock band if you want with the Chapman stick.
Yes, I noticed that, and it was very interesting watching it at the time. You did mention Hawaii, and from your album, Chapman Stick and From Hawaii, a couple of pieces of music there that really struck me quite extraordinarily. One was Surfer Girl, which I think was originally a Beach Boy hit.
It was indeed.
And the other one was Banyan Tree Blues Jam.
Ah, yes.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about how you chose those pieces on that particular CD?
I lived on the west side of Maui in Hawaii for 6 years. And in the town that we lived, Lahaina, there's a banyan tree that was brought over by boat from India over 150 years ago.
My God.
It was planted in the middle of a square next to the courthouse, which at one time was even the capital of the Hawaiian kingdom. This tree has been cultivated for over 150 years, and currently it is the largest banyan tree in the northern hemisphere. This one single tree covers an entire acre, and they've turned it into a park, and it's pretty much the focal point of Lahaina. Anything that's ever happened of any importance seems mm-hmm. to happen under that tree. And for the entire 6 years I was there, I played every other weekend for the Banyan Tree Art Fairs with the Lahaina Arts Society.
Okay.
And of the 19 tracks on Chapman Stick from Hawaii, they were all composed, recorded while I lived there in Lahaina. And a lot of them were captured, a live direct recording right while I was playing at the art fairs. And Banyan Tree Blues Jam was just such a number. And of course, it was a Hawaii, so I had to do Surfer Girl. I couldn't help myself.
Of course. Why not? it's not a bad piece of music at the same time. Now, you've made numerous CDs. How many CDs have you produced over the years?
Well, I've had a total of 23 releases. I was kind of a latecomer. I didn't start, I think my first CD came out in 99 or 2000, but, I caught up, I guess.
Mm-hmm. When you say 99 or 2000, we think that's not so long ago, but it's nearly 20 years ago now.
I know. It seems like only yesterday.
Time certainly gets away. Now, you've had great success with Serenity 1, 2, and Serenity 3. And I've liked all those three versions. Of course, I really love Serenity 3, and a couple of numbers on there that I really enjoyed. One was Cloud number 9.
Oh, thank you very much. I moved here to the Sedona area about 3.5 years ago, and as I said earlier, I don't know, just my music started to get more mellow, and the natural beauty around Northern Arizona was very inspiring. So I just started doing everything slower. Cloud number 11 was a piece that was captured one night in one continuous take. It was about 10:30 at night, and I was playing the smaller instrument. It's called the SG-12, or stick guitar. It's one of the models that Chapman has made over the years. It's just like his regular instruments, but it's about 10 inches shorter. And I just flipped on the recorder, and that's what came out.
Mm-hmm. You do as,
as a matter of fact, every single one of the songs on all three of the Serenity albums were recorded in one continuous take without overdubs.
Really?
That's why it has so much heart in it. I mean, it comes from the heart. It hasn't been, you know, chopped, sliced, and diced, and copy and pasted, and mechanized, and quantized. Those recordings, you know, of course, if I did a bad note, I'm going to cut it out. But basically what you hear is the one continuous take on 48 tracks.
Mm. Incredible. And the other one that really got me, I think it's very, very mellow and relaxing, is Sunday Morning.
Sunday Morning was recorded on a Sunday morning. You know, it's that kind of, you know, that kind of feeling for most people on Sunday. You don't have to get up at any special time, and, you know, you get up and just sort of mosey around the house, make some coffee, read the paper. You're in no big hurry to do anything. And that track, Sunday Morning, was also recorded on the smaller instrument, the stick guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't think of a better name, and every time I heard that track, I thought, God, it makes me feel just like Sunday morning. What's the hurry?
Well, why worry on a Sunday morning? And do you write most of your own music?
Yes. Yes, I do. I just have little ideas just seem to pop into my head. And then I'll take a little idea and I'll turn it into a bigger idea. And then I'll just keep playing it until it sounds about right to me. And then I'll just turn on the recorder, and usually within a couple of takes, I'll have what I heard in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than, you know, spending vast amount of time overdubbing and chopping it up, I just pick the best overall take that has the most feeling to it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And do you do any session work with Sherry Finzer and Heart Dance Records?
No, I to date I have not. Sherry and I have talked once or twice about the possibility of doing an album, but we just haven't gotten around to it.
Well, I hope that happens one day, because I can see that both of you fitting together very well there.
I love collaborating with other musicians. As a matter of fact, when I was in Hawaii, I met a young man named Lance Israel, and he played Native American flutes, shakuhachis, and whatnot, and he just showed up one day under the banyan tree. We started playing together, and within minutes, people all came up, wanted to buy our CD. Well, we had just met 10 minutes before, so
Bit hard to have the CD at that stage.
Yeah. The following weekend, I invited him back down to the banyan tree, and I brought my recording gear, and so for one complete weekend, we recorded everything we did, and all of it was improvised on the spot, and it became an album, and it is titled Under the Banyan Tree.
Oh, okay. Do you do all your own recording?
No. I usually do when it's solo stick, but sometimes I'll work with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting started on a new album in 2 weeks, and I'm going to go down to Phoenix and work with a really great producer down there who I who I had the pleasure of meeting about 25 years ago. So I'm going to get a little help this time.
Well, we'll look forward to that coming for a little later date. Michael, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been wonderful talking to you.
It's been my pleasure.
Absolute pleasure, and we could talk on for hours like this, but Jeff's giving me the evil eye there, so I better get off. Thank you very much for
all of your kind compliments, and I'm glad you and your listeners enjoy my music. It just makes me feel so good to know that people down under are actually hearing my music. Wow, that's
certainly
a thrill.
Are. Anyway, we'll catch up with you down the track.
All right. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Thank you. Okay, Michael, thank you very much there.